السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Welcome to Radio Islam International. Saturday morning, it is another edition of the program known as Swimming Reels. This morning we have Ali Mandi with us on the line. Ali, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Marana Sajati, and to all our wonderful, wonderful listeners on this beautiful Saturday morning.
Ali, but chilly this morning? Well, I would say that for me, comparatively to last week's Saturday morning, because of course, I mean, last week being out on the water wasn't as chilly as it is this idea.
Yeah, I think the thing is that the area that you were in also, you know, is a little bit more warmer than this particular area, the Joburg area, where we're now starting to see the jackets coming out and the gudras and, you know, and all of that. So I think we'll be heading into quite a chilly winter, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. It is going to be there. You know, I think when the rain came so late, then you heard people generally saying that it's going to be a very cold and a long winter.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you've got to brace yourself and be prepared for perhaps a cold winter. But nonetheless, you know, they say the only time you appreciate something is when you don't have something. So we don't appreciate that summer days and this hot and lovely weather when you have the cold days or that heat is taken away from it.
Definitely. But I think the one thing about being in South Africa is we must make a lot of shukr that we get to see all four seasons and experience it, you know. I think that's a really beautiful thing. I mean, many places you go to, they don't really have all four seasons. They just have maybe two seasons, you know. And one of the things about Joburg in particular is you get some very, very extreme weather, and then you get some really, really good days. And like you say, I think it boils down to appreciation in the end of the day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts those conditions on us so that we can remember that He is in charge and He is in control of everything.
100%, 100%. It's like you say, but yeah, we make sure for the weather we have. In fact, in this week, yes, it's not full into winter as yet, but generally our winter days, I mean, this last week, if we've seen, the weather has been quite good. I mean, like to say early morning and late evening, I mean, from after Maghrib, probably you're going to have to start wearing a jacket, start getting nippy. But during the course of the day, the weather is like actually excellent, alhamdulillah. Very good weather. I mean, during the course of the day, the weather is excellent. And I mean, we're then going into Ramadan as well. I know a lot of people saying it's going to be like one of the shortest Ramadans in terms of hours of fasting. But I think then we should appreciate that. You know, now when we're in, I was speaking to one of the taxi drivers, and for them, I mean, now naturally, heat going up to about 50, 51 degrees, you know?
Yes.
And the length of the rosas as well, and then bearing in mind the Taraweeh Salah so late at night, Isha Salah, then Taraweeh Salah so late, and then day after, still going to wake up so early for Sahri, especially the people that are the locals that are working. So you said so beautifully, you said that this is something that many a times we say that it's going to be fasting and 50 degrees and the heat. So of course, I mean, there is a little bit of sacrifice and difficulty. You see, but truly we see Allah's mercy in that month, and we really do realize that, I mean, before we know it, Allah makes the day so much easier for you. You don't really go through much difficulty and hardship, and you're getting such a blessing and such a mubarak month. So like you say, the appreciation is going to show from our side, honestly.
Yeah, I think what you're saying is such an important thing, is that it's always about that commitment. So once you commit to do something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have an ibadah that you have to make, or you have something that you need to do in terms of your deen, and you find it difficult, because obviously shaitan also comes and makes it difficult for you. But the thing is that all you need is that initial commitment, and once you commit to it, then you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it so easy, and you sit back and you think to yourself that, hey, you know, I thought it was going to be difficult, but it's actually very, very easy.
Definitely. I think last week when we spoke, you mentioned that you were thinking of going somewhere thereafter. Did you then go out with the kids on the same day?
No, I was actually feeling very like left out and depressed because we went to the work and without me. So I told my son, so you know what, we can't just sit at home and do nothing. So I called up my friend and I asked him if you know, we could go. They got a farm and there's a small little pond, basically a private pond on the dam, on the farm rather. So we went to do a spot of bass fishing, but it wasn't as active as it normally is, and we managed to only catch two bass. But it was good enough. I felt happy after that. I felt like, oh, okay, right. Maulana Sajjad got bass. I also got bass. So you know, it things are not as bad as I thought they were. Yeah, but no real serious fishing. It's just a couple of more weekends left before Ramadan really kicks in, and then we, you know, I've been speaking to some of my buddies, especially from Mazadul, my neighbor in particular, Firoz, and he was saying, hey, we have to go fishing. So it looks like something will happen, inshallah, soon. I just need to make an application. Some people do online application. We do on radio application.
On air application.
Yeah, if the muscles will say, yeah, no, it's fine, you can go. Your trip last weekend was something phenomenal, alhamdulillah. Even while we were talking on the air, there was a couple of hookups. What was the overall, impression of the entire weekend?
Okay, so the like last weekend, I think, while we were speaking, so this was like the very strange part of the trip, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was excellent in terms of the trip, in terms of fishing per se, but there were no real the warp sizes or the quality that you actually catch in the warp. Yes, there were those few bigger ones that we caught on that Saturday, or better size than what we caught on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of quantity, I mean, the entire day we just caught fish like non-stop, practically mm-hmm. non-stop. But in terms of quality, yes, there wasn't the quality that we had in previous trips of the work. And of course, I know there are many questions there, but myself and Momo will actually talk to you a bit later. What was the reason, perhaps too much pressure on the dam. But like you said also, I mean, the excellent part or the best part about the whole trip was the fact that because you see such clean water, such good rain, you see a lot of plantation vegetation in the water, you see so much of bait fish, and you see plenty of smaller fish as well. It actually just made it feel a bit good that perhaps in the months or in the years to come, this dam will be producing some good fishing again.
Yeah, I think one thing that we need to preserve is our fisheries and ensure that they stay healthy for a long period of time, obviously, because within the ecosystem itself everything sort of depends on the other, and as fishermen also we do have a responsibility to make sure that the place stays clean, and that we do give time, you know, understanding the cycles of how the fish operate and the breeding cycles, to sort of give time to the fish to actually recuperate and recover and work sort of on a system like that. But it's very, very good that you're saying that the fishery looks good and there's a lot of habitation and there's a lot of life in the water to show that, inshallah, in time to come, it will sort of go back to where it was.
Yeah, hopefully it will, inshallah. I just put down on the shoreline, so from your restaurant is down the setting that you normally go through after Ramadan and the holiday season.
Maulana, say that again?
I say from your friends down on in Durban in the shoreline, normally after Ramadan, I know it is, or in the holiday season when you do go to go down with them and you have your fishing trips with them, but any reports from them already?
Like I say, not anything at the moment. My brother moved down to Durban, so I've actually got a constant report
mentioned it, yeah.
from him, because I mean he basically does a lot of fishing that side, but they target maybe bigger fish. One of my friends was in Durban last week, Ariel Salaji. We're going to try and get him online, inshallah. Anzala will try and get Ariel on the line, because he did a very interesting type of fishing which we haven't featured on our program at all before. They went out on a jet ski. Now, for listeners who don't really know what a jet ski, he went out on a jet ski.
On a jet ski? Okay, I honestly missed the part of skiing. Now he's saying he entered on a jet, and I know something was very interesting. Listening to how this guy caught some fish off the jet.
You know, nowadays there's so many different
You actually types of feel things. That. You see that video, Ariel? There was a video going around, I think it was last week sometime, where this guy has got a drone.
Yes, and, I was going to say the same thing to you now. And the drone fishing is actually becoming very popular. It's very, it's based a lot on the kite fishing theory, you know. And I don't know if you know much about kite fishing, but I've seen it firsthand when we were in St. Lucia a couple of years ago when this guy was doing kite fishing. So the idea was to get a kite out as far as possible. And basically there's sort of like a clip on the kite, is that when the fish takes, you know, it pulls the clip, and the clip releases the line, and then it's just you and the fish basically fighting it out. And it was quite an amazing thing. So the drone sort of works on a very similar principle, where it gets the line out, you know, to a certain level, and then from there you basically you work on your fishing. I think we just lost Mulana Sajat for a few minutes there, but we'll get back to him just now, inshallah. Like we were talking about, we will be speaking to one of my good friends, Adil Salaji, who's been jet ski fishing. Very interesting to find out a little bit more about that. We're going to be getting Lukman Mia also on the line, who's our sponsor from Solly's Angler's Corner. Last week, Lukman was talking about going hunting. And this is sort of coming into the season for hunting, and we'll hear a little bit more about him. But before we get to anybody else, last night I was at a function here at our school, and of
Arif,
course...
Arif, you like functions too much, I notice.
Hey, you bet. Where you went?
I was around, always around. I was just enjoying the way you're talking about it, the kite fishing and things like that. And I was going to even tell you that nowadays you see another thing. There was another video clip that was also making the rounds where this guy goes in and he does this bow and arrow fishing.
Okay, right.
I don't know if you've seen that one. That one is also something very, very interesting and very awesome, because, you know, it's you, that angle that we see the fish from the top of the water and the fish is actually underwater is totally different.
It's different. They call it a refraction, actually.
Mm.
It's the theory of refraction. So you can't aim the exact point at which you see the fish, because it's refracted. You gotta adjust your guide. Something different, completely. It'd be interesting to actually get someone that does bow fishing. I did come across somebody... you know, when I was sometime back, I think it was the Ishtima weekend, and they actually a fly fishing association, but we will get into that, because you see fly fishing also, a lot of guys that do fishing during the winter time focus a lot on the fly fishing, because you have your species like a trout, etc., which are winter fish. So I think, you know, in the coming weekends, maybe we can just talk a little bit about that. So I think this morning, since we started, we've already covered quite a different, a vast array. But if Anzala can indicate when he's going to get Adil Salaji on, that will be an interesting interview about the jet ski fishing. And then you talked about the drone fishing. There's the kite fishing. And now there's the bow fishing as well. So... you know, lots and lots of different...
And unfortunately, I'm just... Hanzala is indicating to us that it seems like Adil has gone on a jet ski of his again, because it seems like out of range and out of signal.
Maybe he's sleeping. Some people are sleeping this time of the morning.
Hmm.
Last night I met one of the aunties there at the function, and she was telling me that every Saturday morning when she goes to the work, she must listen to Screaming Reels.
Hmm.
So I was feeling quite happy about myself. And I also met Dr. Ibi Mohammed, who's also a fan of the program, mashallah. He asked me to please announce that AHAWA, which is the Azadwal Health and Welfare Association, they're going to be offering free medical screening to the public. I think once or twice we did it with Radio Islam Day in Lens as well.
Yes,
in fact, once we did a live program from the medical screening day in Lens.
It was last year, right?
Last year, yeah. And basically, the medical screening is free to the public. It's happening Sunday, which is tomorrow, the 7th of May. And this will be at the Civic Center on Taj Mahal Street in Azadwal. And it starts from 8:30 in the morning and will wrap up by about 1:30. So anybody that wants to go, that's in the Azadwal area, that wants to go for a free medical screening, the guys from AHAWA are going to be at the Civic Center from 8:30 in the morning. Go and check it out. It's always a very, very beneficial thing to go and have your health checked out. They'll be doing various testing, like sugar testing and checking your pressure, etc. And you'll be rubbing shoulders with some of the professional doctors, you know, just to sort of get an idea of how you're healthy. So don't forget to check that out.
You can see if you got fishing syndrome there.
You can. You know what they do?
I saw another caption last night. They say it's not fishing that makes you old. It's lack of fishing that actually allows you to get old.
You see there now.
Mm.
That shows that we need to go fishing. I'm wondering why I'm aging so quickly, because I don't do enough fishing.
Every time I wake up,
there's one gray hair in the beard.
Yeah, you see? Lack of fishing.
Lack of fishing,
you know? I see I'm getting some nice pictures from one of our listeners here. It looks like a nice grunter, ready to be prepared.
Mm.
And they say this was caught last night at Richards Bay.
Richards Bay?
Mm.
Richards Bay, meaning they're probably fishing in the mouth area.
Probably, so we're actually waiting for some more info there.
Yeah, but you said getting prepped for eating, so does that thing look like it's been gutted and cleaned and sort of masalaed and everything?
Yeah, on its way there. It's already coming out of the freezer, I see that.
You know, grunter is a beautiful eating fish, let me tell you that much. Have you ever eaten grunter?
Yeah, yeah, we've eaten grunter, but now the way you made it sound like you have a special recipe for preparing it, isn't it?
I think I mentioned it before. We went fishing in December, mm-hmm. and we caught off the boat in the harbour quite a few. And then my brother said, you know what? And he started cleaning it on the boat, you know?
Right.
And he told me, I'm going to show you how I'm going to cook this fish here. You won't believe how lekker it is. And then we went home, and then they masalaed it. Obviously, the masala, I'm not sure what they use, but he put it
on the front. Normally, the guys that don't want to give you that secret,
yeah,
they generally say, they say exactly what you just said now.
What?
I don't know what masala he used.
It came in a see-through plastic bag. He must have mixed the stuff up himself. You get these fish masalas.
Okay.
I don't think it's about the masala.
Mm.
What I do think is that it was the way it was prepared. So it was thrown directly onto the dry grill, you know, and then the fish, once you start seeing that skin sort of bubble up, then you know the fish is cooked nicely inside. And I'm telling you, you just peel the skin away and you get to the flesh. What a lekker fish to eat.
Mm-hmm. Sounds awesome, eh?
Very, very awesome. Now we're listening to go do some
to catch it and to bry it or to have it with that. There is special see-through packet masala, we'll call it.
See-through packet masala and lemon juice. Don't forget the lemon juice.
Okay, see-through packet masala and lemon juice. Hanzala, you ever heard of that spice, Hanzala? So see-through packet masala and lemon juice. Hansala asked, where can he get it from, Adil?
I'm sure one of the spice shops. You just go there. But you must be careful, because some of the spice shops got a lot of secret packet masalas. But now, wait.
What about the wrong one?
The best part is if you go to Durban,
right,
and you go to the fish market or you go to the masala market, etc., they've got the most amazing names for their masalas. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
Like you get mother-in-law spice.
Mother-in-law spice. I saw that one.
Yeah, you got mother-in-law spice and sister-in-law spice and You know, they give it some of the most amazing names. I'm not so sure why they do that. I know my mother-in-law is listening, so I better say something nice.
Yeah, just say you're scared. They say normally the mother-in-laws are very hot, so they have the hot the hot ones as a mother-in-law space.
But I must say Alhamdulillah, because mashallah, I've got a very good mother-in-law, and
really afraid.
I think her space is not hot as it is lacquer.
Sure, I never knew somebody could be so afraid, plus on air.
I don't see you talking too much about your mother-in-law, no. So let's just keep it at that.
Allah give her Jannah, inshallah.
Ameen, ameen, ameen.
Okay, let's go to Brother Luqman, who we got with us on the line. Luqman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Malana?
Alhamdulillah, how are you keeping, Luqman?
Allah shukr. Assalamu alaikum to Adil and to all the listeners as well.
Luqman, I'm sure you got in on the whole mother-in-law story, but don't get us wrong. We were not talking bad about anyone's mother. We were talking about in Durban how they named the spice as mother-in-law spice.
Okay.
Just trying to figure out why they do that.
I think Luqman caught that part also, but he's also being a bit reserved. You see, he also won't further a discussion.
We'll just leave it at this. Yeah. Hot. Yeah.
They say Mother's Day. You know, these people, they celebrate Mother's Day, and so they will even have a thing called Mother-in-Law's Day soon. Yeah.
I really get high thing today, Luqman.
No, Adil is on high today.
Yeah, he's going to get hiding when he go home now.
Luqman, last weekend you were saying that you guys might go and do some hunting. Did you people get down to doing anything?
Yeah, Alhamdulillah, we had a nice weekend out. It was good. We needed a break from the hectic schedule. So Alhamdulillah, it was good. We had a nice trip. All the cousins got together and we really enjoyed it. Alhamdulillah.
Where did you guys go out, Luqman?
To our farm, Alhamdulillah, near the Kruger Park, near Woodstray.
Okay.
And that's where we did our hunting. So.
Adil, are you changing your surname? Adil Mia?
What?
You look one's cousin also.
I'm Luqman. No, I didn't go with Luqman.
No, I'm saying.
Yeah. Adil Mia is some other famous Mia. I'm just an ordinary guy that's talking on the radio. I was going to say, I'm very excited to hear that Luqman went hunting, because you know what that means. That inshallah we might be getting biltong.
Soon, yeah.
We generally shoot small because it's more tender, so with that we don't make biltong. That's more just for curries and for brine, inshallah.
Luqman, now tell us a little bit about sort of the species of buck or whatever it is that you guys were targeting.
Mainly impala, which we enjoy because it's such, especially like I say, if you shoot young one, the meat is very tender, very nice to eat. And that's what we did. We just went for that just to start off. Inshallah, on our next trips, whenever that comes up, nothing planned yet, inshallah, maybe after Ramadan or whatever, then we'll go for the big buck for biltong.
But now, impala, is it a very difficult animal to sort of track and to shoot down?
It depends on the terrain and area and where you're hunting, you know. In some places, like where we hunt, you know, the bush is very thick, so it does make it a bit difficult. You know, you have to watch, take your shots when the right time comes. You can't just go any haphazard way of hunting, you know, you got to do it properly, plan your hunts properly. But in certain areas it's very easy, you know, it's open areas, easy to shoot. Mainly is you got to plan your hunt properly, you know, wind direction is important, especially if you're walking, you want to be walking against the wind rather than the wind with you, so that they don't pick up your scent, and then try and wear, you know, nowadays with a range of camouflage clothing around, you need to wear the proper clothing so that you can get close enough to take a good shot.
Luqman, at the farm close to the Kruger Park, do you people do hiring out to the public as well?
Not really, it's more just family and friends, you know, it's not a big commercial thing as yet, but it's just for us to go and enjoy. Alhamdulillah, Allah has been great and blessed us with such a place.
And tell us a little bit about sort of the company and, you know, I mean, hunting and fishing, there's a lot of similarities in it. Obviously, your main time is not just spent on hunting. What's the condition of the farm? Did it get a good because of the rains and stuff like that? Do the animal populations look healthy? Does the vegetation look healthy, etc.?
Yeah, alhamdulillah, we've had alhamdulillah good rains, late rains. Early on it was quite dry, but we had some good late rains that gave the bush a nice big boost, so the grasses are quite nice and green, the trees and shrubs itself are nice and lush. So the animals themselves, are in good, alhamdulillah, good condition. The lions have been very active, killing all sorts of, impala, waterbuck, buffalo, even giraffe, and zebra. So they are also making the most of the nice fat animals running around.
Now, when you say the lions have been active, have you people witnessed any kills, or did you people just come across some of the carcasses that were...
No, just after the kills, while they were feeding, we didn't witness the kill itself, but while they were actually feeding off the various animals, yeah.
Very interesting. Getting back to the main topic, obviously, which is fishing, and we know there's just very few weekends left. What sort of advice can you give for the fishermen out there coming from Solid Angler's Corner? Obviously, people need to come and check you out if they need anything, last month. Or most of the time, this time of the year, guys are bringing in their reels and stuff like that there for service.
We've spoke about it before, winter. If you're not a winter fisherman, it's a good time to sit down and clean all your tackle, sort your stuff out. And like you mentioned, if there's any rods or reels that need repairs, you can bring it to any of the branches. We offer that service where we service reels. We can even re-spool line for you. So if your reels need new line as well. And the rods, if you always you'll see one or over the time, you'll get one or two of your guides, your top eyes or whatever, either damaged or squashed or closed in a car door or whatever. If you need it replaced, by all means, bring it in. We offer that service where we do repairs on rods or reels. And even if you need assistance with setting up your tackle box and how to go about stocking it for different types of angling, we do that. Alhamdulillah, we do that.
In terms of just basic maintenance, Luqman, you're speaking about more repairs itself, but oiling the reels and things like that as well?
The outside oiling and it can be done by yourself. At home, the best thing to do, first of all, is clean. You got to take your normal water, diluted with a bit of sunlight liquid or whatever, nice cloth, and just wipe down your rods and reels just to get all that grit and grime off. And then you can multi-purpose spray like Q20 or WD-40. Always sell special tackle guards. Where just on the handles, you can remove your screw from your reel on the inside where your shaft is. Just spray or put a couple of drops of oil or those sprays we're talking about. And wipe your reel down so that you're ready for the next season when it comes up.
And how important is this? Or how often should this be done?
No, it depends how often you fish, first of all. But like I say, now winter is a good time to do it because a lot of people, we have to be honest about it, don't like fishing in winter because of the weather and it's too cold. So those are the type of people that it is a good time so that when the season comes in August, September again, you're not scratching your head, no, I must go back to Solis or whatever and get this sorted out or get that. So your stuff is ready for you. So when the season comes or a trip comes up, it's just pick up and go. You don't have to worry about still sorting things out. And nowadays tackle is fairly expensive. So we should always, whatever it is, whether it's fishing tackle, our hunting equipment or archery stuff or any of our things that we do, it's important to look after it. It's not where we should just take it and dump it in one corner and forget about it, because at the end of the day, there is value to it and we shouldn't be wasteful and look after what Allah has blessed us with.
Definitely.
Look, just on that topic of reel maintenance, if the reel is a little bit tight, meaning like when you try to reel it, it's a bit tight, what could possibly be wrong with it?
Possibly your bearings are starting to go, or if you've been to the salt, you know, salt water corrodes everything, so even your gear can, some corrosion may be building up. So the best thing when that happens is to bring it to us, because we open the whole reel, we take it, we clean off all the sand or grime off your bearings and the dirt off your gears and that, and then generally it's a bearing problem. When you feel that it really is turning over tight, 9 out of 10 times it's a bearing issue.
Or maybe you caught some good fish with the reel, Adil.
And it's overworked, yeah.
Yeah, you overworked it now.
Time to pack it in and go and check all its, what salt it's got on special.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the obvious.
Yeah. Obviously, when you spend a lot of money on a reel and you want to look after it, because sometimes people know that today, you buy good quality products, you got to maintain it and you got to look after it. And it's excellent to know, you know, that Solly's offers the service to the community. So don't forget to go and check out Solly's, inshallah, for all the you know, the stuff that they've got in the shop, and also to get your tackle in good working order, inshallah. Luqman, in terms of the tiger fishing, because I know last weekend when we spoke, you said the tiger fishing is sort of coming on the bite. Since last week till now, any of your clients been out to do some serious tiger fishing?
We had few guys that went, but I haven't heard from them yet to see what they actually did. Generally, the guys go up for a few days, so inshallah by next week we should know whether they caught or not. But I did speak to one or two local guys in Zimbabwe and Zambia, and according to them, the fish is starting to bite now, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Excellent stuff, inshallah. Luqman, jazakallah so much for that, you know, that advice as always. I think today we basically learned how important it is to make sure that you maintain and look after your tackle. We'll chat with you in the future, inshallah.
Inshallah, and like I say, it's important even for those serious fishermen that need to get in some therapy done before Ramadan. There's 2 weekends of therapy left, so make the most of it.
Like this, therapy.
Therapy and keeping you young. So today, that's what fishing is about, yeah.
Yeah, keeps you young, gives you therapy.
Alhamdulillah.
Inshallah, Allah make it easy for.
Amen, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
I'm looking at the watch and we're sort of coming very close towards the end. I still can't get a hold of this Adil Salaji, so I'm going to have to shout him when I get a hold of him. Right, going back to last weekend now, obviously you guys were on the boat, you were doing the work fishing. Mohammed Patel, I think it's very important to have somebody that knows and understands and has studied the particular facets of the fishing. What sort of new things did you learn?
Sure, it was more again theory more than practical, because although we fished close to one another, but it was more when you were off the boat in the evening, standing around the braai, when you were actually learning more, I think, that time from Mohammed Aziz.
Yeah, I think when it comes to bears in particular, I mean, every time you speak to you know, a bear angler that really now is serious about bear angling, You understand there's a lot of study that has gone into you know, understanding sort of how the fish, and Momo always talks about try to think like how the fish thinks.
This is very surprising. You know, there's every time if you really really think about it, but you know, it's like every time you need to learn something. There is something new to learn about this fishing or the hunting, whatever it may be. Whatever it may be, you know, it is always something new to learn, and always something extra that you can see from there.
I think that's why Screaming Reels is now on air for about 7 years already.
Mm.
And somebody always asks me that, but now what do you guys talk about every weekend? And there's always something new to talk about.
The same thing, I guess. What more can you talk about?
Yes. So, coming up now, next 2 weekends, what's your plan?
Well, I think no therapy. It's probably just be at home, Adil, in preparation now for Ramadan itself, and maybe after Ramadan, inshallah.
Inshallah. I think what we need to plan after Ramadan is a few of those outside broadcast trips to one or two of the places. There are so many venues, and obviously anybody that's listening out there that has a venue that you would like us to go and check out and sort of feature it on the program, you know, you can get our contact details from the radio station, give us a call, and we can set something up, inshallah, for after Ramadan.
You don't think it's possible before Ramadan, eh?
Well, we've got two weekends. We've got 2 weekends left. You know, there's a lot of places around. Currently, if you look at Fishing on the Vaal, last weekend there was a family at Willow Express, and I met Uncle Idris in the week, and he was telling me they did very, very well in terms of fishing. So, you know, fishing is there. It's happening all the time. I mean, people are catching fish. This time of the year, when it gets a little bit colder, fishing is not as active. I'm talking about now fishing in the Vaal region and those areas. You know, but what you do find is quality fish. You get some nice big fish. If you're really prepared to sit and wait for your fish, you get some really decent sizes. And I think that's what we see coming through with those people who are going fishing. Let's see. Like Sukman said, you know, this last 2 weekends of therapy, make sure that you go out and you do some serious fishing. But obviously, at the same time, get yourself sort of in gear, because you know that these are very, very auspicious months that we are in now. Mm. And we need to also prepare ourselves spiritually, inshallah.
Mm. Are there no camps that you have lined up, Aris, before Ramadan?
What actually happens is camps usually sort of come to a close during the winter time, because it's very difficult to take the kids out in winter.
Mm.
It's cold, and you know, I would love to do winter camps, but you do sort of worry about the kids. But I know my friends and we have our survival group, and we are planning, inshallah, for our winter survival camp. If our listeners actually know about the survival group that I'm part of, we once spent a weekend out when it was minus 11 degrees. I think that was the coldest weekend of the year, and we were basically camping out and, you know, bringing a whole lot of skill sets to the fore, which is something very, very interesting. You know, people don't realize that there's so many things that we take for granted, because it's so easily available. Like, you know, like you open the tap and there's water, and you want to cook something, you switch the stove on. But now when you're in the bush and you need to prepare something, now making a fire becomes such a challenge. You know, if you sort of run out of water, you know, how do you get water? How do you purify water? So these are sort of skill sets that we try to learn every time that we go out. It's not all difficult work related type of stuff. I mean, there's a lot of enjoyment. It's groups of friends that are just sitting together and really enjoying themselves. But at the same time, there's a lot of things that we learn. And I think, as you know, in general, people, we forget about, or we don't even realize. I was speaking to some of my kids in class, you know, in school, and a lot of them don't really know. They can't relate that the chicken that they eat, you know, on the plate, is an actual animal that they don't connect the two, which is a very, very serious thing, you know. Like they keep the animal, they understand it's a chicken, and then they don't realize that the chicken that they're eating is that animal. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah. I got you there.
Because we don't actually get out to slaughter our own chickens and stuff. I mean, the guy comes. Sometimes, if you're lucky, they deliver it to your house already, and it's dressed.
Yeah, it's, you know, I fully understand what you're saying. It's like hard for them to fathom that this is the same thing that is running around every other day, and it's now on our plate like this here, and we're eating it.
Yeah, exactly. There's no connection between it's not just kids as well. I mean, there are adults as well that don't make that connection. And it's important for us to realize that, you know, where does our food actually come from? And, you know, in today's time, going into a discussion like that, you need like another 3 hours, because food today, you know, it's a whole different scenario. People are eating all sorts of things that they you know, are not healthy for you, etc., etc. So, yeah, it's very, very important to actually know where your food comes from and what are you eating. I would say like that.
So there is something planned just for yourself and a friend, but it's probably going to be out of Ramadan, after Ramadan.
Just after Ramadan, but it will probably still be in the midst of winter. We usually do a winter camp for the adults because it's a very challenging time and challenging experience. And to be able to work in a difficult condition sort of hones your senses and makes you a little bit more aware of how to react in your environment. Yeah.
Mm. Any plans for this weekend, today and tomorrow?
We'll see what happens, inshallah. I don't really, have anything planned. Per se. Like you say, the therapy is almost done. So perhaps next weekend, inshallah, maybe to just do a little bit of a fishing trip, because that's what we do. We're supposed to be fishing. Last night I met Dr. Ismail Wadi. Mm. Remember we had him on our program, the MEC for transport. And he was also talking about his fishing experiences and coming up now to hunting. So, yeah, it's hunting season. I mean, Lukman also mentioned that they went. So there's still going to be a lot of...
I just want to send you one picture very, very quickly.
Right.
I hope it gets to you before we have to wrap up. Just one of the listeners sending it now.
Okay.
And it says...
Is the grant cooked already?
It is?
I say, is the grant cooked already?
No. It's the same person that actually sent me the grant picture, actually sent this picture here, and it says Richards Bay as well. I asked which area is this in.
Oh,
this
beautiful.
Is boats galore, beautiful indeed. And if you look at the picture, did you receive it already?
Hmm. This is
how's
beautiful.
That?
Yeah, I think Richards
Philly.
Bay, you know, we don't focus a lot on Richards Bay.
Mm.
Because people don't really talk about Richards Bay as a holiday destination, but it's actually a beautiful place. And I know a lot of the boats that used to do deep sea charters from St. Lucia have moved to Richards Bay now, because remember that the St. Lucia sort of area became protected and they don't allow bottom water fishing there. So there's still very, very good deep sea fishing in Richards Bay. Beautiful, beautiful place.
Excellent. Adil, we're going to have to wrap up very, very quickly now. I'm actually just seeing this one more message very quickly. Sorry about it, Anzara. It says, my uncle there in South Africa went for fishing at the Vaal River and they said it was amazing. Good thumbs up to South Africa. Here in Zambia, fishing is boring.
Ah.
Oh, how is that
in
possible?
Zambia.
In Zambia, fishing is boring.
So wait.
But hunting here in Zambia is super amazing. I would think Zambia, your fishing also is also like really, really awesome. It's like we're looking forward to being in Zambia for fishing.
Yeah.
And the hunting part of it, of course. So to our listener out there, the brother or the sister is actually sending this message saying, my uncle there in South Africa went for fishing at the Vaal River, and they said it was amazing. Good thumbs up to South Africa.
The Vaal River, you're talking about yellows
here
and
here in Zambia, fishing is boring. It's like, I don't understand that last part of the message. Okay, we'll say to the listener, I think you got to do more inquiries about Zambia itself, because from what we hear, it's just like super awesome. Unfortunately, we can't continue with this discussion for today. I mean, next week, Saturday, maybe we'll take our listener up from Zambia then and get more info about it, inshallah. For now, Adil, we're going to have to wrap up, and I'm going to run away to the cold. Kids actually got sports today, so we're off that side now.
Enjoy your sports day, inshallah. Chat with you next weekend.
Amen.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And to all our wonders.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.